You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Now we should be joined on the line by Chris Bourke. You there, mate?
Burke.
Yep, Chris Bourke.
Chris Bourke.
Yep. Apologise. Apologise for that one. Now, okay, Audio Culture, the last month, New Zealand Music Month, May, has been celebrating a very powerful milestone. And to do so, you ran a reader's poll of the greatest New Zealand album of all time. And as a, such a powerful list, topped off by the one and only Split Enz, which I, in some ways I suppose is no surprise, but I thought probably Fat Freddy's would have put them at the post.
You would have thought so. It's no surprise to me, really, the True Colours, just because I have lived through those songs since they first emerged. And, you know, that gives songs an enormous length of time to build up a constituency of fans, no matter how old they are. You know, there are grandchildren now who are listening to those songs.
Chris, I'd like to jump in there, Chris, and say that I Got You was probably one of the first radio moments that I can remember that really moved me. You know what I mean? When I first heard that, I remember thinking, what a weird thing. Wow, but it's sort of very, I was absolutely entranced by it, that song, when I first heard it. I don't know how many years
exactly.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Chris. I hear what you're saying.
For me, it was Dinah Lee, Do the Blue Beat, when I was five. That was one of my earliest memories. They just jump out of the radio, these songs, and you hear that they're New Zealand songs, and that gives you a special attachment to them. But you know, and we can all name half a dozen big songs from that record. That I Got You was the only hit, but you know, the other songs, Nobody Takes Me Seriously, Poor Boy, What's the Matter with You. You know, we've heard, well, I've heard them at parties for decades.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that was the only hit. They're all just chock-a-block full of hits, isn't it, really?
I mean, exactly. It's chock-full of hits. But
it's become part of the lifeblood of this country, that album. Hence why it won, I suppose. Yeah, exactly.
Someone has just texted through, Chris, saying AK-79, number four, robbed. Robbed.
Well, you know, Split Enz started with a lead from the get-go, and although it didn't draw out to a massive lead, the proportion stayed the same from the beginning, you know. And AK-79 got less than half the votes of Split Enz' True Colours, you know. The surprise to me was Mental Notes, because I thought only hairy old hippies remembered Mental Notes, and they don't remember much.
Yes.
You know, Chris, the Push album, A Trillion Shades of Happy, made the list, and I was really, really stoked about that. And I'm not going to ask you what number we got to, because it's not about that for us. You know, for us, it's more about the music.
Okay.
But I was just really stoked that we're even on the list. Yeah, that's cool.
we did a bit of a brainstorm on what we thought the really wide audience in New Zealand music would go for. They wanted it even wider. You know, they named as many albums again to write in and say, look, you've forgotten this one. And not many of those entered the final, you know, top 20 or 30. Well, I don't know if any of them did. You know,
how great for the site, though, to fill in, just to be reminded of all that stuff as well. Just how great for you guys.
Exactly.
Content-wise, in the future, you know, cool.
Exactly. I mean, you look at the ones that have lasted since, you know, from the hard edge scene, you know, like The Gordons is still a huge album to so many people, or The Skeptics, you know, these are right up there with The Headless Chickens, you know, or The Dudes, you know, The Dudes and The Gordons are neck and neck.
Now, you've selected a couple of songs for us, Chris. I feel like we should play one. What would you like to start with and why?
Well, I thought we'd start with the Mental Notes song, because we all know True Colours. We all know those songs, and we can leave those to, you know, Coast FM or a tune, you know, a record like that.
It just made me feel really old when you said that.
Like that. Nothing wrong with those. You know, this is all about democracy and not being a cultural snob. You know, this is where the popular culture misses out. You know, the popular part, the crate diggers, you know, are going for the obscure. You know, and but there's these other records that last in people's consciousness. I've chosen from Mental Notes, which was the big debut concept album of Split Enz, 1975. Time for a Change, just to show how experimental it was. There are so many bits and pieces to this record. It keeps changing. And at the time, only a few years ago, Tim Finn said, you know, at this time we had so many ideas we wanted to pack in that if an idea was more than 15 seconds, we just threw it out, you know. Yeah. We keep moving. So it's a wonderful record. I've been really enjoying exploring it again. Haven't done that since, you know, early 80s.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's hear it. Split Enz, Time for Change. Time for Change. Chris from Audio Culture on the line, all the way from Wellington. Split Enz coming in at number one and number three at Audio Culture's Classic New Zealand Album Reader's Poll of 2023, celebrating 10 years of Audio Culture For those of you out there that haven't checked them out yet, definitely go check them out. It's like the ultimate resource of tales from New Zealand's past and present.
Imagine what sort of party you're going to have when you're 20, Chris.
Oh, exactly. It's unthinkable how many albums will have been produced then. You know, I would hate that the top five is the same, you know. I really want it to be different. But the thing is, there's so much choice now. And if you're listening to that True Colours, it reminded me just what an album was. You know, Spotify has kind of killed the album. I don't sit back and listen to a whole 45 minutes. And, you know, the only time you get up is to flip over the side anymore. You know, Spotify, I mean, I do occasionally, but, you know, it's not like the whole way I listen to records.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, Spotify, it's all single tracks and the algorithms take the popular ones to the top. And, you know, it's a different experience.
And with those albums that do make you do that, they're sort of like considered to be absolutely genius pieces of work, aren't they? If an album can still make the average listener do that nowadays, that's considered to be like the magnum opus of whoever the artist is.
Yeah, yeah, and get further down, you know, I mean, look, take about number 10, we've got The Chill, Submarine Bells and Dimmer,
Great
I Believe You Are a Star. Those are both real albums. They're not just, you know, a few really popular songs.
Mm-hmm.
They take you on a journey. So that, you know, people weren't giving up by then, you know.
Now you can't say people are giving up now. Come on, Chris.
Yeah,
it's a few.
Well, I'm talking about the public, not the artists. The public are very impatient.
This is the thing. So how much more impatient can you get, do you think, before it starts turning back the right way?
Oh.
I'm putting you on the spot there. That's not really a birthday question, is it?
Well, the funny thing is that's the exact opposite of what happened in this period that I'm talking now with the tracks I've chosen, is people were sick of indulgence, you know.
Mm.
And it was like the flick of a switch that suddenly the 2.5 minute song came back.
Mm.
You know, we had 5 minute Steely Dan songs and, you know, the Eagles, this is commercial radio with, you know, 5 or 6 minute songs with huge long solos in the middle of them, you know. And we really need to get back to the single where it was all about, you know, dancing. In and out in 2.5 minutes, you know.
What about the whole thing of people waiting for a song to come out and then it comes out and then everybody taking time to enjoy it before they go, oh, but when's the next thing coming out? That's the thing that blows my mind. It's like everyone's really expectant, and then once it happens, it's all about the build up, not the money shot, as it were, to use a different industry's turn of phrase.
Yeah. It's easier to make an album now at home, you know, it's much harder to get listened to. But it was hard to get listened to then, you know. You'll remember, Mikey, you know, the dark ages when you couldn't get arrested to get on radio.
Slogged our guts out. And then when we got to number one, we had the Recording Industry of New Zealand do an audit on us to make sure we hadn't cheated. That was pretty flattering. Not very insulting.
Once you got to number one, who played the
6 weeks at number one, actually, Chris, just to keep reminding the country about that. Who played it? What radio stations played it? Did you say? Is that what you're going to ask?
Yeah, who played it on the way up and on the way, you know, once it
got there? Do you know one of the first people to play it? We had to put a bit of pressure on them. Was this real radio station now that has become the pulse of the city, Auckland, 95 BFM, and we were arguing, we were saying, I think we're allowed to go on the top 10, aren't we? Because, you know, we're a local band and no one else plays us, so surely we're allowed to. And then that happened, and then about the same time, I think, I'm trying to think who was around there, there's a few more sort of open-minded music. So when I say open-minded, I think that's when you just went in that to glad hand the people that work there.
Mm-hmm.
More. I don't think that would work nowadays. You know, cause do people still work at radio stations?
No, I think it's just robots mostly.
Pre-recorded 6 years ago.
Well, there, you see, I mean, you haven't been able to name whether it was Hauraki or...
It was definitely Hauraki. It was definitely maybe ZM. ZB, I know that. But ZM, what else was there? And I'm just thinking through the country, there's like things like Port FM
What an occasion that was when you heard it on a commercial station, not one that you were involved with.
Yeah,
you
know, and not one where you'd ring them up saying, come on, please play us on, please.
You know, there's nothing like it. And that's how exciting it was when I Got You came out. And then a year later, you know, Counting the Beat came out, and it seemed like the two were connected, even though they're a year apart. They were both so.
Well, even though I got used a really big commercial song now, like I say, to me it sounded at the time. To me, it sounded that stood out on the radio as something so weird and amazing and different and And then then the video came out, and they looked like they had three times sized eyebrows on, and that which weirded me out as well back then.
Yeah,
but it's so cool, man. It's just, and you're right when you say that the to get it, because the Push Push have been doing some recording recently, and we've sort of, we've come to this conclusion that we're not going to release a single. Why would you release a single? What does that even mean anymore, It's like Spotify, the evil devil that lives behind Spotify is doing all sorts of jiggery-pokery that doesn't make any sense, and so why would you do that? You just have to, have to do the old days and give it to friends and hope they give it to friends, and then they give it to more friends,
Well, let's look. I've got a couple of other tracks that kind of describe this period, and they're all in the top five. So, you know, go down the road from BFM in Simon Street, go up Simon Street to where the Globe Hotel was, and that's where you'd find, same time as Mental Notes was coming out, you'd find the fledgling Hello Sailor, you know, a band that was as good as the Rolling Stones and within a stone's throw of the campus, you know.
Cool. And
I thought let's... we could play a song that wasn't Gutter Black, which is 10 million plays on Spotify, and good luck to it, or Blue Lady. But, you know, we forget just how strong their set list was and what a strong album it made. So I chose Latin Lover because it's in the same in the same vein with a slinky groove, you know.
All right, let's hear it. We're in the midst of Audio Culture. Chris on the line from Wellington. We're going to hit some Suburban Reptiles next, Chris. Why have you chosen Suburban Reptiles?
the Bourbon Reptiles and the Scavengers were so important. They just kind of, look, I was in Wellington. I'd just left school a matter of months, you know, and Suburban Reptiles and Scavengers came down for a student arts festival, which were amazing occasions back then, and they were widely hyped before they got there. No one had seen a punk band before in Wellington, and
what were you expecting before you saw them? What were you expecting? What were you imagining?
Well, you know, I'd seen the pictures on Radio Earth. I'd seen Radio Earth pictures with the Damned and Sex Pistols and things like that. You know, I'd seen the photos as well, but everything was so cranked up because people did expect them to kind of lay waste, like some kind of vandals arriving, you know. And the band before was a hippie band called Living Force, you know, that were kind of dressed in Hare Krishna outfits and long instrumentals, and, you know, people were sitting on the floor. And next thing, you know, there was this long wait until Suburban Reptiles started, and the crowd was pushing and shoving. They'd been kind of cranked up by the band once they started, and then Buster Stiggs threw a drumstick out into the crowd. It was quite an aggro scene.
Buster Stiggs.
Yeah, he threw a stick out. Yeah, and it hit a woman in the forehead.
Oy.
And blood was spurting from her forehead.
Pugaz.
It was like they brought their own fans with them to pogo and rock the crowd up, who were, you know, really just wanting to see a curiosity. So that moment was just unforgettable. It was like, you know, waiting for the Hun and the Vandals to arrive up over the hills, you know, and they certainly felt like that. I didn't know they were art students, you know. They were pretenders. Anyway, let's hear 90 seconds of Suburban Reptiles with Coup d'Etat.
1, 2, 3, go!
Suburban Reptiles, 90 seconds of pure punk.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
Okay, Chris, we're nudging up on the 6 o'clock news here at 95 BFM. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the line. If people want to check out the Audio Culture Readers Poll, head along to audioculture.co.nz. We should say a big congrats to Helen, who, I don't know how it was drawn, but Helen won herself the Torrens turntable and $500 to spend it real groovy just for entering.
It was a random draw. It's been a big success, this Audio Culture poll, you know, and I love that, you know, at the sixth place, the sixth equal, Toy Love alongside Super Groove and She Had, you know.
Yeah, that's really so cool.
You've got to take your hat off to those bands from the 90s to cut through the hundreds of albums that were voted for.
Yes. All of those three albums are monsters. We've got She Had, the General Electric. Man, I remember seeing them at the Big Day Out around the time that this came out, and holy smokes, it was incredible. Got Toy Love, and Supergroove's Traction from 94. All total beast albums. You've chosen a Toy Love song for us to go out on. Tell us about this tune.
Thing about Toy Love is not only did they come straight out of punk, but they were a pop band, you know. and there was a lot of humour. It wasn't all aggression. There was a hell of a lot of wit and humour, as you'd expect from Chris Knox. And I just love the song because there's this outrageous Beatles chord in it that stands out like dog's balls. You know, I'll never forget hearing it and just laughing at this the first time I heard the Toy Love song in 1979. They were a great pop band as well as everything else.
Excellent. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for chatting to us this evening.
Can we just say before we play this Toy Love song, can we say congratulations to my good friend Doug Hood, who was originally in Toy Love, wasn't he?
Crucial to Toy Love, absolutely crucial. The
crucial to New Zealand music.
Makes the manager of Toy Love. What a guy!
And he just got himself an Owen. What is
He's an officer.
The New Zealand merit, and he deserves it. And yeah. I love you listening, Doug. I love you, man, and you deserve it. And he started out as being the manager of Toy Love and being in Toy Love, but he's just done so much for New Zealand music since then. And I hated those awards things until your friend wins one. That's really cool.
Exactly, means something.
Good on you, King Charles.
Right. Oh, they're not royal anymore. That's the good thing.
Hey,
Lord's the only royal.
Thank you so much, Chris, for chatting to us this evening. Okay. We'll see you next
good
time.
To catch you.
Okay, bye, Chris. Thank you.
Bye, Mikey.
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.